From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. If you think about the things that inspire you or get you going, it's often the bad stuff as much as the good. Andrew Goldring of the band Great Interstate found plenty of material in the inversion that settles over the Salt Lake Valley in winter. At least three of the songs in their first album came from that brown haze. For Goldring, the inversion is like any season of your life that's dark, where you wonder if it will ever end. But he says the album called Inversion Songs is really more about hope. You find yourself stuck in a moment, but you know spring is coming. Not now, but it's coming. Today in the program, we continue our series on local music. The band Great Interstate is joining us in studio to talk about music and, as always, to play. After the news.
Hi, this is Benjamin Bombard, one of the producers of Radio West. Our online audio and podcasts are made possible by KUER and its listeners. If you like Radio West, help us make it happen. You can donate $10 right now by texting KUER to 85944. That's KUER to 85944. And thanks.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. There are a couple of things going on in the songs from the band Great Interstate. Some of it is the music you would hear from a singer-songwriter. That's Andrew Goldring's part. The band started as a solo project, but then things evolved as he brought other musicians in. So there's rock in the music, of course. Spacey rock is how Goldring once described it, with some technical music in there too. So, as he put it, quiet quiets and loud louds. But you'll also hear a very certain ambient sound in the music. It's one of the ways the band expresses that feeling on a cold day when the gunk of an inversion has settled over you. Their first album is called Inversion Songs. They're also working on a new EP, and today in the program, Great Interstate is joining us to play some of their music. Let me introduce the band. Andrew Goldring, I mentioned, he's on guitar and vocals. Andrew, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
We have Tate McCallum-Law with us on guitar. Tate, welcome to you.
Hello. Thank you.
Matt Morrison is on bass. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
And Ken Vallejos is with us on drums. Ken, welcome.
Hey, thanks.
Their debut album, I mentioned, Inversion Songs. It came out last year. A new EP. Do you guys have a name for the EP yet?
We don't have a name for it yet, actually. We're still working on
still
it.
Still trying to figure it out. Great. It's going to... When is it? When are you hoping?
Hopefully in April.
April,
we're shooting
okay.
to put that one out.
We'll talk a little bit more about that anyway as we go along. I guess I wanted to start, though... So, Andrew, I sort of know your a little bit of your story. You were like 10, 11 when you started playing guitar.
Yeah.
And it was blues?
Yeah, the blues was kind of my first introduction to music. I watched a DVD of Stevie Ray Vaughan playing guitar when I was like 11 years old, and I was like, I want to do that. So that was kind of my beginnings, and then from there I just practiced a lot. And my parents actually ended up homeschooling me. Because I was so into playing the guitar, and they wanted me to like pursue music for a couple of years. So
they said, "Look, if you're into this, great. We'll pull you out. We'll teach you, and then you can just play to your heart's content."
Yeah, pretty much. So that lasted a couple of years, but it was a good time. I used to go down to blues jams down in Spanish Fork, Utah, and just jam with all these guys that were like 40 and 50 years old, you know. And I was just this little kid, and then I kind of developed a band sort of out of that. Yeah. Process and
like everyone does you get a band right
so I was playing with like older dudes at the time because I was just like an 11-year-old kid and I didn't really have many friends at school because I was homeschooled so we played a bunch of gigs all around the Salt Lake Valley and played at the Snowbird Blues and Rock Festival and we had some really cool times like that.
Tate, what about you? When did you start?
I started, I must have been around 11 or 12. I was really into pop punk and just kind of like punk rock in general. And it's funny, my brother actually wanted to take guitar lessons, and he came to me and was like, hey, if we approach mom and dad and say we both want to do lessons, they can't turn us down. So, and I was like, okay, that's a great idea. Let's do this. And I ended up sticking with the lessons. He ended up not doing the lessons. I don't know why. But yeah, I ended up just getting into it that way. And
what was the kind of music? What was the music you liked in those days? Was it?
It was kind of like punk rock, a lot of punk rock. But my dad also raised me on, like Led Zeppelin and all the classic Beatles and all that. So,
yeah. What about you, Matt?
I actually started at the age of 7 playing drums, and I've been playing drums basically all my life, and then kind of out of necessity and just to kind of expand my, you know, musical, you know, ability, I switched to bass and or added bass, and yeah, so I've just kind of been pursuing
both. So wait, do you consider yourself still a drummer also?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. I guess they both kind of developed into my primary instrument, you know.
Right.
I play them both about equally as much, but yeah, it's just, you know, I kind of developed it out of necessity from a band I was playing in, and
yeah, kind of how it works sometimes.
It just kind of grew from there.
Now, Ken, did you start on bass?
No, I've always been a drummer. I started at the age of 4 or 5, really young. My dad was a musician as well, and he would have me sit in when he would be playing, you know, wedding gigs and stuff. So
yeah.
It was just like country western stuff. Yeah, and I mean, my introduction to like the Salt Lake music scene was just I got asked to play in a ska punk band, and just kind of went from there. So
it's interesting. I mean, I read a piece that described all the influences. I mean, pretty diverse for you guys. I mean, you mentioned punk, gypsy jazz, screamo ska, you mentioned cowboy space rock. All, you were into all kinds of different stuff, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Go ahead.
I think we've kind of like gotten to a place where we all are searching for a similar sound, but we still use all those influences and just kind of back us up and give us different experiences to contribute to the group.
So how do you describe where you've settled, at least for now? Like if someone were to say pick a genre, I know you don't like the idea of picking them, kind of pigeonholes you, but how do you describe your sound these days?
I don't know. I'd say it was like kind of just loud indie rock with a focus on songwriting, kind of, and like some of those ambient elements. I guess that's a lot of words. It's not really a genre, but
no. Well, I actually want to get to the ambient stuff because I'm actually really interested in that. But what do you guys think? What do you sound like?
I would definitely describe it as indie rock. I mean, with all the bands that Andrew and I like talk about and kind of geek out over, it's just like these indie rock bands that we both, you know, grew up seeing at like Kilby Court and these places. And so it is definitely indie rock. That's probably the easiest way to describe it to someone.
Yeah, it's such an overused term, but
right, you know, all right, yeah, it is.
Yeah, but you got to use some term, I guess.
Exactly.
The ambient sound part. Where did that come from? I mean, because I guess the idea of atmosphere is kind of important to you.
Yeah, definitely. I think I was really influenced when I was making the record by a guy named Mark Linkus of the band Sparkle Horse. And he is kind of this, he was kind of a one-man band. And he would do these arrangements sometimes in his songs that would just be long passages of like kind of space and noise or like weird instruments, you know, cycling and repeating themselves. And it was kind of this cool like hypnotic thing. And I've always also liked post-rock bands, I guess, is the genre for it, like explosions in the sky, kind of like ambient guitar work. So I kind of wanted to sort of incorporate a little bit of that into our sound while still keeping it as kind of a traditional, like, songwriting-based project.
How do you do that? I mean, it's just, like, how do you include sounds? I mean, it's not, you know, I'm not seeing any computer sounds here. I mean, it's just, I guess it's the way you use
a lot of it is, guitar effects and the way that we switch things around on our pedal boards and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're all kind of geeky with our pedal boards and all the pedals we use. But, yeah, we try to find, like, just the most abstract, like, obscure pedals that can just make these really kind of spacey sounds. And it's like, wow, you can make your guitar do that?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to bring a whole rack
cool
of synthesizers.
It's cool what you can do with a guitar these days. There's, like, a lot you can do, which is cool.
So you like that idea of experimentation.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to I want to get to a song. Ohopi is the name of this song. This is but I have to ask you something, Andrew, because one of the things you've talked about before is it seems like you lived, and maybe you still do, but you lived this kind of transient life for a while. You lived in your truck.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I lived in it, but I did spend a lot of time during this season.
Truck. Yeah. Okay, I got it. Traveling to different kinds of places. You were dealing with a lot of, as you put to us, interesting circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the good and the bad, I'm guessing.
Definitely.
Was it during this time when you went to New Zealand?
Yeah, it was actually before this time. It was about 6 months before, 6 or 8 months before, I think.
So this idea of sort of exploring, looking around, I mean, is that what Ohopi is about?
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. That's kind of, I think Ohopi is just a song about trying to recognize the beauty in your life, and sort of the it's named after this beach in New Zealand called Ohopi Beach.
Yeah.
And it was like the most beautiful place I've ever seen in my life. And I think I was just recalling that memory when I was writing the song, and I sort of worked that into the bridge of the song in order to kind of, you know, the song is a little bit of a downer at first. It's a little bit of like dealing through certain emotions. And then during the bridge, it's kind of like, oh, Hopi is calling me home as the line, something like that. And it's kind of just this image of like that beautiful place is still there, you know? So I just wanted people to sort of experience that when they listen to the song.
It seems like this idea of starting somber and then moving to something hopeful, it's a theme for the album almost. There are a lot of songs
I think so,
like that.
Yeah. I think so.
So I wanted to mention a couple of the lyrics here I really like. I'm giving up my right to be recognized. I'm giving up my wings, heading for the sea.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of just an image of like, I don't know, it's just sort of representative of how I was feeling at the time. You know, I had left a band. I'd quit my band. I'd quit my job. And I was just kind of, you know, camping around in my truck for a month or two with a bunch of money saved up, trying to figure out what I was doing.
Did it take you a while to write this song?
No.
One of those ones that came fast?
I think this song came pretty quick.
Yeah.
Most of them do.
Good. All right. Well, here is Great Interstate with the song Ohopi.
Awesome. We'll be right back.
band Great Interstate. It's a song called Ohopi from their first album, their debut album, Inversion Songs. It's their only album right now. They're working on an EP, which they're hoping to have out in April. It doesn't have a title quite yet. Andrew Goldring is with us. We have Tate McCallum Law. We have Matt Morrison and Ken Vallejos with us. All right, I want you to do Exodus. I really like this song a lot.
Thanks.
You've said, Andrew, that this was like the most spontaneous song on the album.
Yeah, I feel like this song was almost like stream of consciousness kind of writing. I was just sitting in my bedroom at the time with like a bottle of wine just hanging out, and this song just sort of popped out. And some of the lyrics are totally goofy and like, I don't know.
Goofy's a good word, actually.
Yeah. I mean,
there's some and actually the tone of the song has moments of kind of whimsy.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
I thought so, too. It's interesting you say, I left school with a head full of rules and 100 designs for a life well hid. Was that stream of consciousness, or what was the meaning of that?
That was pretty stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
Really. But I think sort of the rules part had to do with me kind of, you know, assuming that things would work a certain way and them not really ending up working that way, I think is kind of the image there.
I think the idea of well hid is interesting because there's another song, My Dear Friend, where you talk about, I keep my song well hid.
Uh-huh.
Is that something in the back of your mind, that idea of
keeping
something set aside?
I didn't really connect those two songs, but that's interesting that that showed up in both places. I feel like My Dear Friend is a little bit more of a kind of a storytelling song.
This doesn't necessarily have a narrative. It's just kind of a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, this one is more of spontaneous kind of just writing and seeing what comes out.
Yeah. Great, we'll do it, will you?
Yeah, we will.
Exodus. This is Great Interstate. Great Interstate from their debut album, Inversion Songs. That's Exodus. Andrew Goldring is on guitar and vocals. We have Tate McCallum Law on guitar. Matt Morrison's on bass. And Ken Vallejos is on the drums. We have links to more of their music on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. And we'll talk about the inversion part of the inversion song's title when we get back from a break. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we are continuing our series on local music. We have with us in studio the band Great Interstate. Their debut album is called Inversion Songs. They're working on an EP that's going to come out in the spring. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. Great Interstate is Andrew Goldring, Tate McCallum Law, Matt Morrison, and Ken Vallejos. So I wanted to talk to Tate, Matt, and Ken here for a minute. So when Andrew approached you, and I think it was Tate, you saw him at a coffee shop and you guys were talking music and eventually you thought, hey, come join my band. This sounds like a typical story of bands, like come join my band. But I'm wondering if you guys, if Andrew's writing the songs and if a lot of the stuff is really personal, it's coming from him. You know, he's got the lyrics, he's at least at that point was writing the songs. If that gives you pause, if you think, you know, I don't want to be a studio musician. Like, I want to be in the band. How does that work? How are you thinking about all of that?
You know, I've been in other bands before where I kind of have been literally like a hired musician.
Yeah.
And I don't know. When we started putting this band together and Andrew was asking us, like, he kind of made it clear from the get-go. It was like, hey, I want this to be a band. I want you guys to eventually be a part of, like, the new songs we write, you know. And even as we're learning inversion songs, you know, like, feel free to put your own like little flavor into it, you know, like that's fine. And it's really cool to find a musician that's like that laid back. I mean, or it's cool to meet a songwriter that would be, you know, that kind of laid back about the situation
and willing to share, right?
Yeah, and willing to share. And I don't know. So when Andrew and I, like, you know, just kind of pick and choose what guitar parts, who plays what, it's really kind of healthy relationship all around because of that. But
I think it was cool the way it started as kind of like a solo project, or, you know, just songwriter writing some songs. And then he kind of showed it to us kind of once he had somewhat of a final product, you know.
Yeah.
We were able to kind of see what the sound that he was going for and kind of be able to get on the same page with that so that we could kind of put our, you know, our spin on the songs but still go for that sound that he was going for on the album, you know. You kind of had something to reference with,
yeah,
but kind of also make it your own.
Let me try this lick, or let's try that, or how about this?
Yeah,
or,
yeah, but yeah, you knew kind of the overall theme that you were going for, yeah, you know, so you could, yeah, put your taste on.
So he had a structure, but you could build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's always, even from the get-go, it's been quite a healthy relationship. I've been in some poisonous bands before. and yeah, I mean, you know, we're all best friends. We never get tired of each other. So, yeah.
Not too often.
Not too often.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, hold on.
isn't the test when you tour?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And we passed the test.
Yeah, so you did
okay. Yeah, yeah. All right, I want to talk about Inverted Sky. Because this is one of the songs in Inversion Songs that I think, if not directly relate, certainly was inspired by, which is a weird word to say for an inversion, but by the inversion, by the crappy, mm-hmm, air. Talk a little bit about just the way the crummy air in the Salt Lake Valley got you thinking about certain things, certain images,
yeah,
and
it was
songs.
It was funny how it worked out, because it just kind of, the it was a nasty winter. I think it was like 2013, 2014 winter, and
Super ugly. And,
yeah, just gross, bad inversion. And I had sort of come out of this season of the fall. I quit my old band and I was still figuring out sort of where my life was going. You know, I was, what, 20 years old, 21 years old. And so when I was writing the songs, I didn't really gather this theme until I wrote Inverted Sky, I think. And that's when I sort of, the line popped to me into my head, and I was kind of like, oh, wow, that's sort of the theme of the album. It's almost resemblant of, like, the dirt in the Salt Lake Valley, you know? And sort of, so I think Inverted Sky is really, like, the theme song of the album, which is sort of saying, like, we're in this gross season, but it's just a season.
Yeah.
Like, it'll pass.
This is what you say in the song, "Dear Blue Sky, Be My Eyes."
Uh-huh.
When everything around is blind, I see your sun setting on my darkest days, but it never seems to fade away. So it's that, it's pretty gloomy at the beginning, right? I mean, uh-huh. It's just, but then you make the
switch. The choruses are just kind of holding on to that hope of a new season.
Yeah. Between you and the haze, I see it in your shiny eye. You're begging for a change. Yeah. I really like this song. It's called Inverted Sky from the band Great Interstate.
I can't wait to see you shining down the heaven. I can't wait to hold you in the dark and glow of winter. I've been wandering around places that we found. You've been fighting like a soldier. Footsteps, anchored to my mind. see it in your shining eye. You're begging for a change. There must be something better between here and the pain. This must be something better between here and the pain.
It's the song Inverted Sky from the album Inversion Songs. Great Interstate is the band. They're with us. They're working on an EP, which is coming out in the spring. So it seems like, Andrew, that some people can be singer-songwriters and not really have a band. But I wanted you to talk about Garbage Brain, because it seems like this was a song that you wrote, if I understand it right anyway. And you were just like, I'm too isolated. I need a band. I need people to collaborate with. Like, you were feeling alone, kind of. Is that right?
Yeah, it's definitely a lonely song. And I think the kind of line about, like, the reason I'm still trembling for a reason for my leaving was kind of about me leaving my old band behind and sort of, like, not having people to play music with anymore. And even though I do consider myself, like, a singer-songwriter primarily, I feel like I'm really a band musician. Like, I've always grown up playing music with other people. Mm-hmm. So doing it alone is just draining and exhausting.
I like this line. In the rain from the lake, we're singing our salty song, building piles of dreams to climb upon.
I kind of used that line as sort of just to tie into the theme of, like, the inversion and Salt Lake City, you know?
Yeah. I like it. It's nice. Will you do Garbage Brain?
Yeah, let's do it.
Garbage in, garbage out, and I've got a garbage brain. Ain't see it just floating above my much left.
the band Great Interstate. That's Garbage Brain from their debut album, Inversion Songs, which came out last year. They're currently working on a new EP. Great Interstate is our Andrew Goldring, Tate McCallum Law, Matt Morrison, and Ken Vallejos. And we need to take another break. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUV. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today on the program, we're continuing our series on local music with the band Great Interstate. They have a debut album which came out last year called Inversion Songs. They're working on a new EP which is coming out sometime in April or so. They are Ken Vallejos on drums, Matt Morrison on bass, Tate McCallum Law is on guitar, and Andrew Goldring on guitar and vocals. So one of the things I wanted to ask you actually all about this, but this is something that started with something, Andrew, that you had said. Because you guys have been described, I think it was in Slug magazine, that described you as a kind of community-oriented group, that you feel a particular commitment to this place. Andrew, you said that the city is almost oversaturated with great bands, which is great on in some respects, but you wanted to see bands, and this is how you put it, take themselves a little more seriously with support from a stronger culture of people caring about music. What do you mean?
I think that in Salt Lake we have just this immense pool of talent, and I see so many people. It's like almost everyone I know is in a band, which is great. It's a really great place to play music because of that. You've got shows to go to all the time, and you've got just so many people willing to hang out and listen to music, which is great. But at the same time, it's kind of a, I feel like it is oversaturated a bit, and it would be nice if bands would put a little more effort into certain things, like put a little more effort into a show, into promoting it.
Just promoting, yeah.
Getting people out and sort of building. You don't see a lot of bands in Utah that have like a following of people that come to every show that aren't just their friends, I think. And that's like the one weak point of the Salt Lake music scene, is I think that everybody goes to show if their friend's playing, but they don't go to the show just because it's a good band, you know, or because they really like that band. But I think that'll change as like more bands put hard work into their music, and yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, both me and Tate have worked at local venues in Salt Lake, and it definitely is underwhelming to see really good bands playing to a crowd of three or four people, or just people who are in the other bands, you know. Like Andrew said, there's a ton of great talent, and it'd be nice to seeing a lot more of those people taking it seriously and having the recognition they deserve.
What's the deal? What's our problem?
I'm not sure.
Doug, that is a great question. I wish I had an answer. I don't know.
One thing I think is bands playing shows, like a ton of shows. There's some bands who will play like five or six times a month.
And that's too much.
It gets really exhausting just for their friends to pay $5 to see their friends play music. So, I mean, if you were to split it up a bit and be smarter with the shows, I think all in all, the whole community would be a little more healthy, I guess, music community.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And when they're playing that often, the people going to the shows kind of start to get the mentality of like, stick around for the band you're there to see and then leave, you know. I don't know. There's just so much good talent. It'd be great to see people kind of stick around and expand, you know, the bands that they're listening to,
right,
and kind of appreciate the collection of the show rather than just the band they're friends with.
Let's talk about Frail Bones.
Okay.
Where did this come from?
So this is sort of a song just about struggling through a relationship, really. And I wouldn't say that it's an autobiographical song, but it definitely has elements of that, as was inspired by, you know, struggling through personal relationships.
Yeah.
But I think all in all, the song is just kind of, it's a hopeful song at the end, really. Kind of like a lot of the other songs on the album, it sort of ties into that theme of like the hope is coming, and
yeah.
There's sort of redemption at the end of it, which is important to me. And yeah, it's a dark song, though.
It kind of is. I keyed on this line. You said, "I can't feel it like I used to, but I want to feel it like I know I can."
Uh-huh.
It's just love.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. But don't deny me time to grow, you write, and I won't give up on you.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a dark love song.
Yeah, yeah. It's called Frail Bones. Here they are, Great Interstate.
I know my
Frail Bones from Great Interstate. So let's, I want to have you guys play one song from the new EP called Prospects. So how's it different? If this was a solo project that evolved into kind of a band project, now do you feel like this is more us than just you in some way?
I think so, definitely. Yeah, I think Prospects is a good example of a song that we kind of all contributed to. I sort of came with the bones of the song, and then we all kind of built it into what it is now. And it wouldn't have been the way it is without these guys, you know, and their contributions to it. So, yeah, it's cool to see this project evolve into something bigger than just, you know, me writing songs,
yeah,
which is what I wanted for it. So.
How do you guys describe your role in this song?
It's nice to be a part of the writing process. This whole EP, I think we're all very, very happy with all the songs that are on it. So, yeah, it's nice to just be a part of the writing, like I said.
It's about addiction, Prospects.
Yeah. This song is about, I guess it's written from the perspective of somebody who has a loved one that's struggling with addiction. And, it's kind of a painful song in that respect, but it was just something that came to me and I wanted to express.
It really is. I mean, looking at the lyric, I mean, why do you take all your options away? There's so much to gain from just being alive. And this one, which is, I really like this line. You can see it all around you, but you don't feel anything at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The ending of that song, I think, is my favorite part.
Yeah. Well, here is Prospects from the band Great Interstate, which I should mention is Andrew Goldring on guitar and vocals, Tate McCallum Law on guitar, Matt Morrison on bass, and Ken Vallejos on the drums. They're working on a new EP, which should come out sometime around April. We have links to all their music on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. I'll point out also Radio West is a production of KUER News. Our thanks to Braden Child. The show was engineered by Lewis Downey, technical direction from Tim Slover, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. KUER, Great Interstate with the song Prospects.